Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to, oh, go ahead, say hello. Oh, thank you, thank you. What a beautiful day it is here this Sabbath. It's nice to see all of you here. I've always been impressed with hardworking people, and people who work with skill. Those are going to do things well. And you know, if we think about work, you know, it occupies about a third of our life. It's a place where much of our character and discipline is formed and is the main interaction that we have with society around us. So what we do and how we do it, the example we set in our work, is therefore of profound importance to God. If we look through the Bible, many were called while they were at work. If you look at David and Moses, they were out tending sheep when they were called. If you look at Elisha, he was plowing the field when he was called. And we also look at most of the disciples. They were called while they were doing work as well. So work does have purpose. Work is important. And even as we gather here today on the Sabbath day, the day of rest, that work actually has something to do with today as well. If we take the fourth commandment, it really has two key parts to it. First part is remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So the Sabbath day was sanctified, it was set apart, it was made holy by God. But the second part of that said, 6 days you shall do labor. You actually shall do labor and do all of your work. So we're actually commanded to labor. You know, God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days. And he created it wonderful, he created it beautiful, and what he did was very, very good work. And then he rested on the seventh day, the day we're looking at today here. Without labor, really, the Sabbath rest is really sort of nonsensical. And it's difficult to appreciate the Sabbath day rest unless we do labor. But God is interested in our work, and God will supply us with the wisdom so we can do very excellent work. I'd like for us to turn to the 28th chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah 28, and we will read verses 23 through 29. This is Isaiah 28, 23 through 29. It says, "Give ear and hear my voice. Listen and hear my speech. Does the plowman keep plowing all day to sow? Does he keep turning his soil and breaking the clods? When he has leveled the surface, does he not sow the cumin, the black cumin, and scatter the cumin, plant the wheat in rows, the barley in its appointed place and the spelt in its place? For he instructs him in right judgment. His God teaches him." God teaches him how to do it right. Continuing in verse 27, "For the black cumin is not threshed with a threshing sledge, nor is a cartwheel rolled over the cumin, but the black cumin is beaten out with a stick and the cumin with a rod. Bread flour must be ground. Therefore he does not thresh it forever, break it with his cartwheel, or crush it with his horsemen. This also comes from the Lord of hosts, who is wonderful in counsel and excellent in guidance." So we see, even in this farming example, that God's guidance is very practical, it's very craftsmanlike, and will produce excellent results if we follow it. I'd like to share an example of something with you today. When I was a junior in college, I had the opportunity to do an internship at an accounting department over at Seattle Silicon. I think most of you here may know Rich Edel. Rich Edel is an elder in the church. He spent many years with his wife Mary here and their family, a great participant here. I think many of you know him, and now he's actually up in Bellingham and attending church in Cedar Woolley. But at this time, he was actually one of the founders of the company Seattle Silicon, and he was actually their chief scientist, so he actually had a high-level position there. But I'd like to tell you a little story about something I kind of ran into there. I had the opportunity on occasion to step into his office, talk to Rich, say hello, this kind of thing. And on a couple occasions, I actually had to have lunch with him. And I noticed in his office, behind his desk, there was this, I'll call it artwork, because I don't know what to call it, but basically there was this graphical representation of a computer chip. And it was complete with all the little transistors. It was extremely detailed. And anyway, it was just really, really detailed, we'll call it engineering art, for lack of a better term, behind his desk. And I remember looking at it kind of thinking, oh, you know, it's kind of neat to have a computer chip on your wall. And I didn't really look at it for what it was. And anyone who knows Rich Edel, Rich just kind of smiles, and he has this little humble way about him. He kind of ducks his head, and he didn't say anything about it. Well, anyway, another day, I actually was going to meet him in his office for lunch, and he was a little late. And so, being the fidgety individual that I am, I just kind of walked around his office, paced around. I took a little closer look at this picture. In any event, it had some detailed information on it, and it included his name, and he actually has received an award for this thing. And so, out of curiosity, and Rich came back, I just started asking him questions. And again, Rich in his humility, it was hard to get him to answer. But when the day was done, what was on the wall was something that was made out of extremely cutting-edge technology. It's called gallium arsenide. I know a lot of times we hear about silicon chip technology. This was something that was very, very cutting-edge. And the type of technology that it was that, well, basically Rich created the fastest computer chip there was in the world for its type at that time. I know Doug Howe is also on that project. Doug, you can ask him. He can get a lot more information than I could. They're much more technical than me. But basically, excellence in his work. And so, and after I asked Rich, I go, well, I said, how did this happen? He says, well, we said, God did it. I said, well, yeah, but your name's on it. He said, well, you know, God was my partner throughout, and he showed the way. You know, God will teach us. We simply need to ask him to. We need to include him in what we're doing, to heed his instruction, to heed his lead. And I was just really impressed that God allowed this opportunity for Rich to show me an example. And it's had a real powerful effect on my life. I can't say that I'm there yet. I haven't perfected work. I know I haven't. But examples like that are extremely powerful. You know, when we read through the Old Testament, we have a lot of scripture on work. We read a lot of what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes that shed a great deal on work. Shows a lot of the need to make sure we're not sluggards, that we do work hard, but it also shows the pitfalls of work and preoccupations with physical things if we let that consume us. But Solomon was making a very, very important point that work is not to come between us and God. Rather, it's to be a reflection of our relationship with God. When we look in New Testament times, I know we read through a lot of when Paul was making his rounds to the Thessalonian church and whatnot, there was a significant influence by Greek culture. And Greek culture basically frowned upon labor, upon working hard. They considered that something that the slaves should do. It was beneath them. But Paul, of course, preached different. He says, well, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat. The importance of work was very, very strong and reemphasized in New Testament times as well. And we also see that in 1 Timothy that if we're not to provide for our families, we've denied the faith and are worse than an unbeliever. So there was a real, real reemphasis on working and working hard. But what the New Testament also did was show a lot of direction on emphasizing what should be our motivations for work, because there should be proper motivations for work. For example, we're not to work for food which perishes. We're not to fix our minds on earthly things. We're not to worry, not to worry about food, shelter, clothing. You know, we're not to love the world or the things in the world. That should not be our focus. But as it reads in Colossians 3, verse 23 and 24, and this is Colossians 3, 23 and 24, but we are to work as unto the Lord, not pleasing men, but God. You know, ultimately, we're going to serve a master in life. You know, if our master is that we want to gain physical wealth at the expense of everything else, that will be our master. We will try to gather more things, have more things, and it'll never be enough. But if we want to be wise, if we want to be faithful, if we want to do things to God's glory and not our own, this is pleasing to God. And he will give us the instructions so that we can do our work excellently. Now, excellence in our work is very important. Work and labor give greater meaning and appreciation to this day, the Sabbath day and the Sabbath day rest. Work is a strong mechanism that allows us to be creative. God gave a very clear example that 6 days he created heaven and earth. Well, we're given these 6 days to be creative and to do well with our hands through his guidance. Now, whether we have a career, whether we make a home, you know, whether we learn to play a piano, an instrument, whether we serve in any capacity whatsoever, I hope that we can consider and pray that God's guidance is in it, that God is included, and that everything we do with our hands be to God's glory.